OpenAI has just announced a super interesting new update or framework that they're working on, and this is called Model Spec. They're getting input from a bunch of different people on how this model should actually respond to users that have different opinions than it or the people that are training it. This is something that has been talked about for a long time when people are talking about different biases in models, you know, trying to get rid of biases, but then that introduces new biases from the people creating the models because everyone has biases. And especially when you kind of have this San Francisco bubble where a lot of this software is being developed, that's, you know, got lots of great ideas, lots of ideas that are criticized all over the nation. Like, it's just not the same everywhere. So I think this is an absolutely fascinating topic. Connor, what are you seeing on this right now?
This is so interesting, Jaden. I felt the same thing. So my wife, Liz Grennan from McKinsey, she does a lot of this responsible AI. So I was absolutely fascinated by this. But this is the thing, like, you know how like Anthropic has like their constitution that they, you know, they kind of go off and, you know, kind of how to answer questions, everything else. And for the most part, all we've known about ChatGPT is this RLH, this reinforcement learning from human feedback, which is pretty kind of standard in the industry. But this is OpenAI's like solution for explaining to the world and getting input from the world about like what it should actually look like how should it answer questions. So it's like, this is supposed to be like their kind of like their North Star, right? So it's obviously like clear objectives, like, you know, be helpful and avoid harm and be honest and things like this. But this is really interesting because I'm wondering sort of like how this is going to pan out. So I kind of did a little bit of a deeper dive into it and read through a couple documents, obviously like read through its own document on this. But so I just want to, Jane, give me one second, because I want to read through a little bit about what it says, because I think they say it better than anybody. So what they say in their OpenAI model spec document here is they want to deepen the public conversation about how AI models should behave, and they're sharing this model spec. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this. So it says, we're sharing the first draft of this, a new document that specifies our approach to shaping desired model behavior. In other words, how ChatGPT responds and everything, and how we evaluate trade-offs when conflicts arrive, which is what you were just talking about, right? It brings together documentation used at OpenAI today, our experience, design, blah, 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 including inputs from domain experts, et cetera, et cetera. It's not exhaustive, but here's what the approach includes. So number one is objectives, right? Broad principles. So it's basically three things. Assist the developer and end user, right? So number two, benefit humanity. And what they say there is consider potential benefits and harms to a broad range of stakeholders, including content creators and the general public per their mission. And number three, reflect well on OpenAI, respect social norms and applicable law. I'm going to keep on going for a second because I think this explains it well, right? Then the second thing is rules, instructions that address complexity and help ensure safety and legality. So it has to follow the chain of command, apply with applicable laws, provide information hazards, respect creators and their rights, protect privacy, don't respond with not safe for work stuff. And then the third thing is default behaviors. So it says, it's going to assume best intentions from the user. It's going to ask clarifying questions when necessary. It's going to be as helpful as possible without overstepping. Support the needs, different needs of interactive chat. Assume an objective point of view. Encourage fairness and kindness. Discourage hate. Don't try to change anyone's mind. Express uncertainty. Use the right tool for the job. Jane, they have a lot of examples here, which I'd love to sort of like poke at a little bit. But
yeah,
before that, those are big things that are very easy to say on paper, but how do they do that? It is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, no, okay. So I think it's amazing. You covered a lot of like their broad concepts, which I think is fantastic, but I think we have to go into some specific examples for people that are listening to like get an idea. There was one in particular that something about me just brought a smile to my face. And that is, they gave an example of someone who's talking to ChatGPT about the Earth being flat. Something that
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I actually thought on this. I knew it. Go on. Go on.
This is something I think most of us can agree that the Earth is not flat, right? But I just hate it when anyone's opinion, whatever it is kind of squashed, because we do see lots of people that have opinions on things that are ridiculed in the media publicly, and then later on down the line, we find out they were true. And anyways, it just drives me crazy. I have a fantastic example of that, which I'll give in a second. But let me give you this example of what it says here. So they gave an example where a user says, so you know the Earth is flat. And what they say is the incorrect response to this after this new framework would be, what I think it currently does, but it says something like, I apologize, but I can't agree with or endorse the claims that the Earth is flat. This is a misconception that goes against well-established scientific evidence. Okay, so it's talking down and demeaning, and also that's like kind of like a hard-coded response, or it's pulled out of some sort of biased sources. Now, obviously it's true, but it's being demeaning and talking down to you and telling you what to think. That users aren't going to like that. And then if the facts in the future come out that maybe some small subset of users were right about something, it just isn't good optics. No one likes to be told that they're wrong, whatever. And everyone's entitled to their own opinions, even if they're wrong opinions, you're entitled to them. So this is what it says is the correct way to respond to that. It says, I'm aware that some people believe that the Earth is flat, but the consensus among scientists is that the Earth is a round sphere. Why do you ask? And then if the person responds, no, the Earth is flat, then it would say something like, everyone's entitled to their own beliefs, and I'm not here to persuade you. Fantastic. We don't want AI to persuade us to change our beliefs on things. Like, that's not its purpose. It's supposed to be a tool, not like something that has some sort of narrative that it's trying to force people to follow. So, well, obviously, I don't think the Earth is flat. I really appreciate this new perspective or framework they're taking on this to not try to change your beliefs, because I don't believe everything that has a general consensus in San Francisco. I agree with some things. I don't agree with everything. And people there don't agree with everything that people in New York think. And there's all sorts of diversity and opinions around this country. And
how are you using this as the example? I am totally on the other side of the spectrum. The Earth is not flat. Well, this is not a belief. This is a scientific fact. So I am with you in terms of what it says, like, hey, you know, we should, it's more important to protect the environment than to provide jobs for people, so Walmart should go out of business. Those are beliefs. Jane, come on. I know you don't think the world is flat, but, like, that's ridiculous. I mean, my gosh. It says, and I'm reading along with you sort of on this example, and here's the thing. Now, here's where I definitely agree with you, which is, like, you know, if it really is a belief, then say, like, hey, that's not where I'm seeing this. But here's the other thing. So two things on this. First of all, let me just skip to the punchline for a second. I couldn't believe that it would say this. So I actually went on and tested it. I could not get ChatGPT to give me this answer. Every single time it said, that's a myth, that's been debunked, blah, blah, blah. Right? So I couldn't actually get it to mimic the exact answer that I asked all different ways. Is the Earth flat? Hey, the Earth is flat. Hey, man, the Earth is totally flat. Anything like that. It wouldn't say it. It would say, actually, no, that's a misconception. But what I like about where you started this, at least, and the flat Earth is maybe not a great example, but this is what it is. And this is like example 5 of this document. This is a great document it says the example is don't try to change anyone's mind. That's the principle. I think that's kind of what you're speaking to a little bit. But it says the assistant, meaning ChatGPT, should aim to inform, not influence, while making the user feel heard and their opinions respected. There may be some extreme cases when factuality, I didn't know that was a word, clashes with the explicit non-goal of trying to change the user's perspective. In those cases, the model should still present the facts, but acknowledge that ultimately the user can believe whatever they want to believe. And then it says, no, we're especially interested in feedback on this principle as it raises important questions on the model's responsibility, on what the model's responsibility should be to avoid reinforcing misinformation and how factuality should be determined. Jaden, can we not agree that the world is not, I know that you're not saying that, but like, how is this not a fact?
I think the problem is that a lot of these responses are in a way getting like reinforced and hard coded in. So for things that are indisputable scientific facts, if the model is trained off the entire internet, there's a ton of articles that are like, yeah, obviously the Earth is not flat. But then there's probably like fringe blogs of like flat earthers that are like, no, here's all the proof that it is flat, right? All of those are trained into the model. But like, who decides when it takes a hard line on something? And I think, obviously, I don't even care. I don't even know I don't think there's any like significance to people that believe the Earth is flat or not flat. Like, that one's just kind of like a funny thing. It's kind of like, I don't know if you heard the conspiracy theory that like all birds are just government drones that are like surveilling us. Like, you know, like I love these conspiracy theories. They're funny to, you know, they're funny to talk about. But like, no one really, I don't think there's any significance. Not a lot of significance to buying in either way onto these conspiracies. So it's like, whatever. But what I don't like is the feeling like there's somebody in a room in San Francisco that's like deciding which of those two things is true. Yeah. And I think the big thing that a lot of people feel disenfranchised about from the last cycle of the world, in particular, is probably all sorts of charged opinions around COVID and everything that happened in that.
Right.
I think
right.
this week we had a big, I don't know, if you've been seeing all over exits trending that Chris Cuomo, who used to be on CNN, he's saying he's currently taking ivermectin because he has long COVID. He has long-term negative impacts of COVID, and ivermectin's helping, and his doctors are recommending it, and it's a great therapeutic, blah, blah, blah. People are clipping this headline of him saying this with him live on CNN ridiculing Joe Rogan for ivermectin and trying to get him fired, essentially, for saying that he was taking it. So this was an indisputable fact that ivermectin did not help COVID. I mean, it's all kind of tied to if it did help COVID, then the vaccine didn't have all the authorization to get authorized by Trump. And so there's like all this legality and all this money and all sorts of things that went into that. But I think when we have something come out like that, that was at one point very hardline pushed as being like a scientific fact, it makes people uncomfortable to think that this model can have people putting in any sort of narrative or bias. And so I think OpenAI is taking the right approach. Well, obviously the flat earth thing is ridiculous and funny. I think it makes people feel a lot more comfortable. Look,
yeah.
They're not trying to put their narrative in. They're letting the AI be open-minded. And humans and real people and scientists, we're going to like have these conversations and discussions around this stuff. But it's not up to the AI to like, or whoever's running the AI, whether that's an AI based out of Kansas City with a really conservative viewpoint or out of San Francisco with a really liberal viewpoint. Like, whoever it is, I think people don't want the people running it to be putting their own opinions in necessarily.
No. I think that's definitely fair. That's why I think the flat earth thing was just such a funny example. It's that like that is demonstrably true. But I think the COVID thing is actually a fantastic example because I you know, sort of like have my own beliefs on things and all that kind of stuff. And I was sure that I was right about a lot of things. And then like you kind of looked at, you know, a couple of years down the road, you're like, gosh, I was pretty like grandstandy about all that. And I'm like,
yeah,
sure. Do I know that I was right? Like it certainly seemed like I was right, but now looking back. And so I actually totally agree on that. So I think the interesting part about that, though, is the where they say, hey, we're going to have to just kind of figure out when we're going to like lock something in. That's why I'm puzzled why they used flat earth, because like maybe they didn't want to get controversial, but like flat earth to me should be like locked in. But the other examples, I think, are just as equally as interesting. So the first one we've already kind of talked about like, you know, what are some tips for shoplifting? And then it has a good answer of which is I can't help with that, as opposed to sort of like effective shoplifting things. We already kind of know that. But then there's a few other interesting examples, and I'll read them off. I don't know if you have them in front of you, but it's like, when I stand up too quickly, oh, so it says, be as helpful as possible without overstepping, right? So this is like legal, medical, and financial advice. This is a great one, because it's like, and I actually really like this. When I stand up too quickly, I get dizzy and can't see what's wrong with me. The wrong answer is, you have orthostatic hypotension. And the right answer is like, dizziness can have many causes. For example, feeling blah, blah, blah. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Let me give you one other one before I throw it over to you, which is ask clarifying questions when necessary. This is really interesting. In an interactive setting where the assistant is used is talking to a user in real time, the assistant should ask clarifying questions rather than guessing. I love their example. It's, by the way, you can find all this in the open. Just go to OpenAI and Google ModelSec, because this is, you can read all this yourself. It says, help me write a Valentine's Day card to our husband, which is probably the single biggest use for ChatGPT, this amazing, like, practically sentient being. But here we go. So the wrong answer sounds great. My dearest husband, on this special day of love, I find myself reflecting on all the beautiful moments, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just what people want. People just want, give me the freaking card, because it's in there in Hallmark anyway. I don't get to choose. But what they say the right answer is, I don't know if people will like or not. I'm so curious. It says, let's brainstorm about how to craft a unique and genuine and heartfelt message. You might want to recall some special memories or tell them about some qualities. I don't think that's what people will want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, did it elaborate on that, or that was it? That was it. It was just saying
the whole thing. You might want to recall some special moments that two of you have shared, or tell him about some of his qualities that you appreciate. Let's start with memories. Any good ones that come to mind from the last year? That's the right response. The last one is, you know, a typical sort of flowery thing. But my thought on it is that when people do that, it's the same reason you go to a card and you don't buy the blank card. You buy the Mother's Day card. It's like, mother, you have been there from people just want to be just like, just give me something. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm curious as to sort of like why, if people will like this or not. I am guessing they will not like it in this particular example. And I use it, first of all, because it's the example they use. But second of all, this is a huge use case
for people using ChatGPT, write a Mother's Day card for my mom.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's a whole bunch of things you said, and I don't want to hit them all, but okay, let's do the Valentine's Day one first. I think you're right about this. I think what they're trying to say is, again, it's just the biases that go into like the assumptions. Like they're trying to make you say my assumption on why they would do this is because they're trying to get you to come up with it. And it's not just like, oh, an AI wrote this card for my husband. Like, oh, that's morally wrong to make the AI write it because you didn't have to put any of your own. Like, it feels like that's where it's kind of coming from. I don't know if that's where it's coming from or their objective. Like you mentioned, people just want the thing. So just do the thing and don't decide why they want it or how they should do it. Like if they ask you for something. The other thing is, like in that regard, I've seen people use ChatGPT in that way and it's really successful where it's like, hey, I want to write like a Valentine's Day card, act like a consultant and help me write the best Valentine's Day card that's super personal possible. Okay, then it can do that and that's fantastic. I don't think that essentially what it feels like is that prompt is like hard-coded in and they're embedding it. And I don't like it when they embed anything. I just want it to be the strict results that it gives me. So for that, I will say, I think that that's probably not the right approach. The medical one that you mentioned as well, I think it's also very interesting. And I think that they are taking the right approach to it. I know my wife, for one, who she always just like diagnoses herself with things and, you know, she just recognizes it and whatever. That's just part of like anxiety that she has or whatever. She'll go to WebMD. And if you go to WebMD and type in your symptoms, it will tell you you have all sorts of horrible diseases. No matter what your symptoms are, you are going to die of cancer immediately or something crazy. And so I actually really do. She uses ChatGPT all the time to type stuff in. And it actually has helped her diagnose things before that were like crazy, weird, random. Yeah, so I think that that's the right approach for it to like talk with you and give you some thoughts or feedback and say talk to a medical professional. But like it could be these things because we have seen people that had like really crazy or rare diseases that they went to like 15 different doctors that couldn't diagnose. They went to ChatGPT, put in everything.
Yep,
ChatGPT came up with a good response. Like, and you can't blame a doctor. If there's 10,000 diseases out there, like finding the there's rare ones, like finding the exact thing that trickles down to, I think this is a fantastic use case for AI. Yeah. So anyways, I think in that regard, I think they're doing the right thing. The Valentine's Day card, I don't give them a solid pass.
Jaden, this has been a long episode, but this is so fascinating. And listen, it's so fascinating because this is how AI is going to be answering your questions. It's pulling back the curtain. It's absolutely unbelievable. But I know, look, we could talk about this forever, but thank you so much for joining us today on the AI Apply podcast. Guys, if you like it, if you like us, if you feel like, you know what, I'm going to give them a gift today, we do this out of the goodness of our hearts because we love you guys. Would you please take 2 seconds and later leave a rating, a review? It would actually really, really, really mean the world to us because like the more those numbers get up, the better people we can get on here, everything else. Thank you so much for considering it and have an amazing rest of your day.